Joshua chapter 17. Now, what keeps you from total victory in the Lord? That's the title of the sermon. What keeps you from total victory in the Lord? Total victory over your sins. All right, verse 13. Joshua 17, verse 13, it says, "Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out." Now, I want to talk about three different things here, really four different things, but I want to discuss the Canaanites. It says here, it says, when they waxed strong. In other words, when Israel really became strong. They had crossed the Jordan. They had done a lot of fighting and conquering and all of these things. And God had told them what they needed to do. He wanted them to run them out of the land, the Canaanites, totally out of the land, annihilate them, get rid of them. And it says, and when they became strong, in other words, they didn't do it. They didn't get rid of them. It says they put them to tribute. In other words, they thought, you know what? We can use these guys. We can make money off of these guys. They taxed them and they used them sort of in a slavery type manner. And so they kept these Canaanites and used them. They basically, what they said is they tolerated them. Now, how does this apply to me and you? So here we go. Sins that we hang on to. Those little bitty sins that are tucked away in the closet that we've decided somehow is okay for us. We've decided that, hey, we can, you know, it don't really affect me that bad. Well, that's what they were thinking about the Canaanites. The Canaanites didn't really affect them that bad. Surely we can use the Canaanites. You know, and so we tend to do that. We tend to want to hang on to these little things. Sin that in our minds we made it legal. It's okay. And somehow it became all right with God. See, that's what we think. It's not okay with God, but that's what we get to thinking. And listen, I'm saying we've all got those little things that we need to get rid of. And I'm going to tell you something. The closer you grow to God, the more He reveals to you these little things you need to get rid of. If we're willing to get rid of them. You know, that's what happens is we do just like the children of Israel did. See, God told them, go in there, get rid of the Canaanites. But what did they do? They allowed them to hang out. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, well, hang on to Joshua 17. Go over to the book of Romans. Acts, Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Chapter 6. Be really nice if I could find the verse I wanted now. Romans chapter 6. Now, this is what Paul said. Well, let's look at this. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We're saved by the grace of God, right? Amen. I mean, good grief. We ought to be able to get away with some things. What? Not really. No. No. You're right, Brother Phil. No. But you know something? That's what the Canaanites were doing. God said, get rid of the Canaanites. And the Israelites said, we can use them. We can keep them around. Now, look at verse 13 of Romans chapter 6. Paul said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but he said, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, we're not to hang on to those little sins, because if we do, we're yielding our members to who? Satan. We're yielding our members to sin. And our members, by the way, are body parts. Your mind, your thinking, your body parts. Listen, sin can get us in deep trouble, and it takes us, the body, each individual, operating in whatever we're doing. So that's why Paul says, we don't need to do that. So really and truly, they needed to get rid of these little sins. They needed to get rid of the Canaanites. We need to get rid of those little bitty sins. And if we'll ask the Lord, now if you'll get honest with God, and if you'll say, you know what, God, I need some help. Help me out knowing what you want me to get rid of. Because there's a little, you know, so we're all going to have no coffee tomorrow morning. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. Destiny's looking like, huh? Yeah, you know, and Brother John's going to come in and he's going to be grumpy because he ain't had his keg of coffee. And, you know, he carries around about a 44 ounce and fills it all the time. So, but really and truly, we know what they are. We know those little sinful thoughts, those little sinful things that we ought not to be doing. We know what they are. But that's what was wrong with the Israelites. They were hanging on to them, tolerating them. But then they also had some Canaanites that they were afraid of. Look at verse 15 of chapter 17, Joshua. I told you, hang on to Joshua. You got to go back to Joshua 17. Now, verse 15, it says, "And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country." In other words, it was an area full of forest. "And cut down thyself there in the land of the Pezerites." Yeah, Pezerites. "And the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." Verse 16, "And the children of Joshua said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." In other words, they had some Canaanites that they were afraid of. They were like, man, these dudes are bad news. They got chariots of iron. They're tough. They're something else. I don't know what we're going to do with them, so we ain't fooling with them. Now, Satan is able to transform himself as an angel of light, but he's also a roaring lion. Sometimes we don't see the sin right up front because it's transformed into angel of light, but sometimes it's right up front. And it spooks us, it scares us, frightens us. But we need to remember, listen, we can overcome because Jesus overcame, if we'll depend on him. The problem is in today's world, in today's, with some of today's Christians, is we've compromised. You see, we make drugs legal and somehow figure it's okay whether we do them or not. But somehow figure it's okay and God ain't got a problem with it. We make abortion legal, whether we've ever had an abortion or not. But it's legal and somehow God's okay with that. No. We make gay marriage legal and somehow God's okay with that. No. Then we compromise situations because we're scared to approach them too much. Guess what? Listen, we can have victory over them if we're willing to, but we got to be willing to. You know, so what we got is we got those Canaanites that we tolerate. You know, all them little bitty things that we tuck back and we say, that's okay. But then we got those Canaanites that we're afraid of. That sin that we're afraid of, and it's like, well, I don't know, maybe I'll just give in and let them do what they want to do. So we don't speak up about it. I'd say that's how it got past to start with, most of that, because, well, we don't want to stir the pot, you know. Might upset somebody. And, you know, all those little bit, but we're not to do that. We're really and truly, we need to take a stand. We need to, for one, get a shovel, clean out the closet. Get rid of the mess that we don't need. All them little bitty sins that we think is, well, you know, I just dabble a little here and I dabble a little bit. No, no, no. We don't need to be. You remember the story of the ark? Noah steps out. They've been floating around in the water about a year. And he steps out and he lets the dove go and he lets the raven go. And the dove, she comes back. And it said because she could not find a place to rest. In other words, there wasn't no trees sticking up out of the water. She didn't have anywhere to rest. But the raven didn't come back. What'd he do, drown? Nah, he was landing on what? Dead bodies, dead carcasses. He had it made, you know, he's an unclean bird. So here he is, he's out there and he's, well, hey, this is a good deal. I ain't stuck in the ark no more. But what's he doing? He's wallowing around in the filth. See, we got too many Christians today that are wallowing in the same filth as the unsaved. And we ought not to be doing that. That's those Canaanites we tolerate, you know. Then we got those Canaanites that we're scared of. Well, I ain't going to do that. I mean, they ain't. Nah, I'm not going to get involved with that, but it's okay. I mean, you know, apparently God thought it was all right. He let them pass the law to make it okay. No. It don't work that way. Oh, but now here's a real problem, though. Let's go to hang on to 17. Don't let it close. Go over just a few pages to the book of Judges. Now, these are the same people, by the way. Judges chapter 1. Yep, Joshua, Judges, and stop at chapter 1. And find verse 32. Well, let me read this, 30. Verse 30. Oh, I could keep backing up. We better just start out at verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalah, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acco, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor Akzib, nor Helba, nor of Aphink, nor of Rehob. How would you like to live in Aphink? Where are you from? I'm from Aphink. I mean, and you know, all right, verse 32. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites in the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. And it goes on and on. Listen, that's the Canaanites they accepted. Oh, they became friends with. That's those sins, unfortunately, that we accepted into our lives. See, we got the Canaanites that we put to use for us because we like that little sin. So we're going to put that to use for us, and God will be okay with that. Then we got those sins that we're afraid of. We got frightened. That's them serious Canaanites. They were the ones with the chariots of iron wheels. But then we got the Canaanites that we've befriended. We got the sins that we've befriended. Really, that's that raven that I said left the ark and went out there and landed on all the stuff. You know what? We've all got friends that are unsaved. And I'm supposed to be nice to them. How in the world are we not going to lead them to... Well, you can't lead somebody to the Lord if you're a jerk to them. They ain't going to listen to it. So I am supposed to be friendly to the unsaved world. I mean, how else are we going to... But I don't have to wallow in the same filth that they wallow in. And that's the problem. I've had people, well, you know, I go down to the bar with them and we all sit around. I mean, I want to be the Christian example. Something's wrong there. Yeah. You know, but listen, that's what they were doing. They knew they were supposed to destroy the Canaanites. They knew they were supposed to run them out of the country, get them out of there. But they didn't. They accepted part of, well, we'll use these. Then they were afraid of these. But then these up here, they're like, well, we'll join in with them. I mean, they're nice. Not to mention, Uncle so-and-so was married to one of them. And so, some of them are cousins. Well, I mean, they're family. You know, somewhere down the line, they all came from Noah, amen. So you can trace it all back. So what they did is they got in to the world and they started not just befriending them, because like I said, you can't lead somebody to the Lord without befriending that person. There's some people I have made friends with that are lost as a ball in high weeds. It's gone. Can't find it. But if I don't get friends with them, build a sort of a relationship is, hey, how you doing? You know, and I got a neighbor. Bless his heart, he's lost. And I've been inviting him to church. But the very first day I met him, I didn't invite him to church. Wasn't until maybe the second or third time that we talked that I even let him know I was a Baptist preacher. And boy, that's like the people start like, whoa. You know, that scares them. Oh, gosh, we got a Baptist living in the neighborhood and a cop. We're in trouble. You know, and it's like, but you got to be friendly with them. But see, they do little parties at the house, and I see them hauling in the alcohol. And sometimes I'm out back and sitting in my yard, and I'm like, well, that smells familiar. But anyway, but I don't go over there and do it with them. And we're not supposed to. Well, how else are we going to win them to the Lord? That's what some of these people got that in their idea. How else are we going to live them to the Lord? We've got to mix with them and we've got to become like them, but we got to look like them. No, we're not. We're not to look like the world. We're not to act like the world. We need to conform to it. We're supposed to be different. That's what they're going to notice. We're going to be different. But we're happy. You mean you don't have to go out and get stone-faced drunk to be happy? No. You don't. You know, you really don't. You don't have to mix in with all that garbage to be happy. See, we're not to accept the evil that they do. I don't care if they're your kinfolks. I read something the other day, and I can't even remember where I read it. It could have been Facebook, could have been where. It was things that a preacher likes to hear. And one of them I love to hear. I would love to hear. This is what I hear. Sorry we missed church, Pastor, but my cousin come by, and so we hung out here at the house. That's what I normally hear. What I would like to be able to hear is, Pastor, this is my cousin. his wife, his five little hoodlums, and, you know, they ain't been in church before, but they dropped by this morning and I invited them to church.
Amen.
That's what we ought to be doing. I've told you before, I got relatives that would not dare darken the door of my house on a Sunday or a Wednesday because they know that I'm going to say, got to go to church, and they don't want to go to church. And that's fine. They don't want to go to church. That's their business. But if you come to my house, we're going to church. You know, but that's what happens. So, you know, think about it. In today's world, things that used to be totally, what's a good word for it, shocking, we just shrug it off anymore. You know, there was things as a kid, I've told you this before, I was watching, and I didn't wear glasses back then, so I figured I better take them off, I don't want to break them. I was sitting on the couch one day with my dad, I was about 10 or so, and they made the movie, you ever heard of the movie The Graduate? This movie come out in the, I don't even know, 60s, somewhere in there. And they put it on TV. Of course, it was edited for TV. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this scene comes, a woman sitting on her bed, and she's about to put her hose on, and my dad about knocked my eyeballs out the back of my head. Whoa, don't look, son! You know, boom! And I'm like, oh, God, what happened? You know, but now, TV, they say stuff on TV that, well, I don't watch TV a lot. And so every now and then I'll walk by a TV or I'll turn mine on at the house getting ready for a movie or something. And I'm like, they just said that on TV? You are kidding me. And, or, whoa, look what's on TV, you know, wow. I didn't know that you could do that. You know. But it's not shocking to us anymore. Yeah, well, big deal. See, that's what happens to us. We get into that compromising and it's problems. Listen, it's a slow process to getting in trouble, okay? Go to the book of James. You can lose Joshua now. So you don't have to keep your finger in it. Go way in the back. Find Hebrews and keep going. Once you find Hebrews, you will find the book of James. Chapter 4, James chapter 4, verse 4. If you need to, write it down. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, I wouldn't be an enemy of God. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. Now, go to 1 John chapter 2. If you're in James, keep trucking. Go on to the back. You make the Revelation back up. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that... Now listen, it ain't talking about, I've told you before, it ain't talking about loving the world as what we see out here. I like the mountains. I like the desert. I think it's beautiful. I think God made a beautiful creation. That ain't what it's talking about. It's talking about the order of the world, the way the world operates, not the world itself physically. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, back up. We are going to have to go to Joshua 2 again, but back up to Romans. Go back to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And I'm really going to tell you something here in a minute. I'm going to tie all this together. Romans chapter 12. He says, verse 1, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's not unreasonable for you to be this way. It's not something that isn't attainable of us. We can do it. There's been people do it before us, and we can do it, and there'll be people after us that are able to do it. Verse 2, and be not conformed to the world, this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Through the Word of God. That's how we renew it, because it's been soaking in all this garbage for years. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is a slow process in either direction you go, but I want to go in the bad direction first. Friends, if we're friends of the world order, guess what? We're enemies of God. If we're loving the world order, we're enemies of God. But it leads to being friends with the world, leads us into loving the world, which in turn goes to Romans chapter 12. It won't be long. You'll be conforming to the world. It says we're not to conform to the world. Amen. That means we're not to start acting like the world. We're not to do the things the world does. We're to cease. Right. But it's like I said, it's a slow process. Well, Pastor, I got to be friends with them. And, you know, I just go to a few places they go to. Well, you know, I just did that because it'll help. See where it goes? It goes from being friends with it to starting to like what they're doing to starting to conform to what they're doing. Now, in the same manner, though, if we do what James says, don't be friends with the world. Our next step is we're not going to love that mess in the world. And then our next step is going to be we start getting away from that. And we start transforming our minds. We start renewing from the inside out. And then we are doing what God wants us to do. We're getting away from that. Now I want to show you something in Joshua. So go back to Joshua 17. Way back in the back. Joshua 17. See, this is what happens when we hang on to those little sins, when we're afraid of those bigger sins, if you want to put it that way, when we start mixing in with those people, we start getting a prideful attitude. See, Joshua, the children of Israel said, they said here in verse 13, yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? Why ain't the Lord blessing me? I mean, I come to church. I read the Bible. I'm doing what God says do. Well, sort of. You know, they were doing what God said do. Sort of. Sort of don't work. Sort is a southern word, by the way. And they were mixing in with the little sin, the Canaanites. They were accepting some of them 100% and mixing with them. See, we got those little bitty sins back over in here, somewhere here in our pocket, back there in our closet. And then we got those that, well, we would never get mixed up with, but we ain't going to speak against them. And then we got those that we just really indulge in. But Lord, bless me. I mean, good grief. Lord, I'm a great people. No. See, I like what Joshua told them. Verse 15 said, Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people. Here, let me paraphrase it for you. If you such a great people will then go up there and run out to Canaanites, cut the lumber down, make your homes, and you'll have plenty of room. In other words, if we're such a good Christian because we're coming to church like we ought to, we're reading the Bible like we ought to, then why ain't we having victory over the sins in our lives? Because we're accepting the problem. We're letting them hang out. We're going to use them a little bit. They were using the Canaanites. Well, them I ain't going to mess with because I'm scared of them. Well, these I'm just going to move right in with. That's why we're not having victorious victory over sins. Why does these things bother me? Because we're not doing what God said do. We can't be friends. You can't do that with the world order. In other words, accept it. You can't love it out there. And because if we do, we're going to get in trouble. Then we're going to conform to it. We can't conform to it. Well, if I conform to it, no. We're to transform by the renewing of our mind. And the only way to do that is to stay in the Word of God. We got to get into the Word of God and don't be afraid to read the book of James. Listen, the book of James is a tough book because it tells you. You look in the mirror. And I've told you lots of times. I can walk by the mirror and I think, well, I look pretty sharp and go on. But if I stand there and look at it long enough, I start seeing the age spots. And I got a whole lot more gray than I used to have. And Sandy had to trim my mustache because she didn't like the way I trimmed it. Because I didn't trim it. She said, well, it's hanging over your lip. And I said, well, it looks like you got two little horns right there. I said, well, it grows. But I never saw it because it didn't look long enough. You see, we can open the Word of God and we can say, well, good deal. Yeah, I like that. And you go on about your business, but you're not getting anywhere. Start reading it and what have I told you before? Apply it to your heart. What did it mean then? What's it mean now? But oh, you want the Bible to really come alive to you? Ask what it means to me personally. Well, that's when God says, oh, is that what you really want to know? Sometimes I don't like what I hear. You know, the Lord starts laying it on my heart. It's like, oh, why'd I have to go there? You know, maybe I won't read that today because, you know, you ever done that? You ever picked up the Bible and you, Lord, show me a passage. And you open it up. And you, oh, I don't want to read there. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've done that. I'm like, I wanted to be mad at somebody and it says, be angry and sin not. I can't. Not today. Now, maybe tomorrow. You know, but really and truly, we've got to say, okay. But there's one important verse, and everybody can memorize this. Ephesians 4:27. Repeat that. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. All right. Ephesians. You know something? If we seriously will get that in our minds and get it into our hearts, it will help so much. Amen. You know, I was on my way home today, and I had my pickup. Sandy had her vehicle, so I was alone. And I turned on the radio, and this song come on. I'm flipping channel. I'm a channel surfer. And I've got XM, so it's real easy. And I run across the song, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I like it. And then I'm like, oh, I can't listen to that. I had to move it. Listen, the Lord lets you know, you know. You don't need to listen to that because it causes problems. It causes my thinking to go haywire. And the last thing I need to do is walk out of church and get my thinking haywire. You know, so I'm like, okay, I hear you. I turn it off, so I flip the channel real quick. That wasn't much better, but so I did. I turned the radio off, and the rest of the way home, it's amazing how the Lord works that out too. I turned the radio off, and I'm like, ring. Oh, it's my kid. So I talked to him the rest of the way to the house. The Lord worked it out, so I did. It didn't tempt me to get. See, the Lord will give you a way out if we'll take the first step. He'll help us the rest of the way. But we got to take that first step. You got to go. You know, the Bible tells us, draw nigh to the Lord, and He'll draw nigh to you. When I was training horses, I would run them around in a round pen. They call it, the fancy word is round pen reasoning. I call it, they mess up, they work. And so I would they'd run and run and run and run. And they start getting tired, and you learn what to watch for. You learn to watch them start licking their lips. And if you start to lick their lips, you're getting somewhere. If they got that tight mouth, they're still mad at you. You know, because I'm running them around there with a rope. Man, I'm slinging that out there, and they're going, and they're wanting to change directions, and I won't let them. And then I'll change their direction, and that really upsets them. And by the way, it's a good workout for you. And because you're not just standing there, you're running around chasing them. Oh, then I tell them, whoa. And usually they're all happy to whoa. They stop. And they're sitting there, and you've been watching them. They've been kind of licking their lips, and their ears starting to turn because they're waiting for that word whoa, because they understand English. And when they hit the brakes, I'd stand there. And I'd look at them, and boy, they're looking at me, and they're thinking, I don't want to run no more. And if he would make, or she, whatever I was training, a little filly or colt, if they would make a move toward me, then I'd make a move toward them. But see, I trained them. Who sought you out? God did. He sought you to start with. When I started training them in a round pen, they ain't never been in a round pen before. So I would stop them, and I'd walk up, and I'd grab their halter, and I'd pet them. And as long as they're standing there with me, hey, everything was peachy. And then all of a sudden, I'd do something they didn't like. I'd reach under their belly, maybe, and scratch them. And it was on purpose. Or I might reach up and grab an ear. Oh, they don't like you messing with their ears. And they bolt on me, and I'd say, ooh, you just messed up. And around and around and around they went. And then they would stop them again, and I would give them another chance. I'd walk toward them, and then I'd stop. And then they'd walk toward me a little bit. And then I walked to them a little. And before long, they got figured out in their mind, hey, if I'm next to him, I get the rest. But if I bolt, I'm in trouble. See, God does us the same way. He sought us out, and then we get in trouble, and He lifts us up. And then we get in trouble, and He helps us out a little bit. But after a while, it says, you draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. So we step a little closer to God. God steps a little closer to me. It's a give and take deal. But eventually, we find out, if we'll stick close to God, guess what? It's a whole lot easier. Life's a whole lot easier when we're next to God. Them horses I trained, Sandy thought I would kill some of them because it's 115 degrees and I'm running them around. I said, no. I said, trust me, they got all the energy in the world. But they figured out real quick, if I'm next to Him, I get rest. Seriously, if we're next to the Lord, we can get a whole lot more rest than if we're out here. Amen. Let's all stand.